And it's time to check in on the animal world, which millions are increasingly doing through webcams. Just some of the sounds gathered by webcams in natural habitat. The New York Times reports that last year people spent more than 1 million hours watching the Audubon Society's 3 seabird cameras. A webcam in a bald eagle nest in Minnesota caused an uproar when viewers thought correctly that a baby chick was having health problems. Everything from cockroaches to corgis to giant pandas are being watched 24 hours a day. Mostly not much happens, but the 8 to 10 million people who tune into the live streaming bird cams set up by the renowned Cornell Lab of Ornithology in New York saw a great horned owl attack a great blue heron by moonlight. And that dramatic clash wasn't just crowd-pleasing. It turns out that critter cams can add data to the scientific literature, make citizen scientists out of a lot of armchair naturalists. Vicky Croak is an animal reporter. That's her beat with WBUR's The Wildlife. Vicky, hi.
Hello, Robin.
How many cameras and live streaming feeds are there?
Well, the New York Times is saying vaguely hundreds, and I think that's even lowballing it.
Right. Well, we see animals in their natural habitats, but often these aren't just images of cuddly little just-born babies. These are stories of predators. Tell us about the great horned owl attack on the blue heron.
This is a really incredible moment, Robin. Great blue herons, a mated pair, sitting on the female is sitting on the nest. Great blue herons are like ballet dancers, mm-hmm. except, you know, if they carried switchblades. They're beautiful but
tough
birds.
Okay.
And the female was on the nest, and out of that peaceful night, something incredible happened. A great horned owl attacked. I spoke to Charles Eldermeyer. He runs the bird cam service for Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and he told me in spectacular detail what happened when the great horned owl came in.
Just to have literally in the, you know, the click of an instant, have this pale shape just bomb in, hit the heron. You couldn't see exactly what was happening, but all of a sudden everything went black because the heron was up against the camera, and then she came off and just puffed up like a giant prehistoric bird, because that's really what it looked like, all shaggy and pointed, and then just screamed.
Oh my.
And now we hear the actual scream.
Wow, that's one mad mom. But why is this important for scientists?
This vocalization from the great blue heron had never been recorded before. And the significance of that is something that Charles Eldermeyer spoke to me about.
The vocalization that that heron made following the attack is something that our Macaulay Library of sound and video does not have on record. They have, you know, hundreds of thousands of recordings. They do not have that recording. That in and of itself is a new point of scientific data. However, the reason we knew that it even happened was because somebody was sitting there watching and listening at 3 a.m.
Ah, so this is where we get to the ordinary couch potatoes watching webcams who become citizen scientists. Somebody called in.
That's right. These people who are watching, they're not publishing stories in the journal Nature. It's not as though what they're seeing changes our scientific knowledge in the moment. But what they're doing is they're filling in the dots. I mean, the way that we understand species is all these little data points get put together and then we see a larger picture. So people at home watching are contributing to that. Sometimes they're doing a little bit more. My favorite story from all of this is a 14-year-old boy from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. His name is Kirill Dudko, and he's sitting in his bedroom one Saturday night. And he had tuned in to this ocean observatory in Canada that's run out of the University of Victoria. And so this kid is at home. He's watching, and he sees a predator come in and eat the slimy hagfish. And hagfish are these kind of grotesque fish that burrow into the corpses of other animals. And
ew.
It was thought that basically no one likes to eat them, not even shark. But he isn't sure what he's seen. And he emailed the director of science at the Ocean Networks Canada. And Kim Juniper is the head of science there. He comes in on a Monday morning and he has this interesting email with a clip attached from this kid. And he says, "What am I looking at?" So Dr. Juniper has a look at the clip, and he's not sure himself. So he begins to contact marine biologists up and down the coast, and they all decide that it's a female elephant seal, and she's eating a hagfish. And the video went viral because it provided some new data to science. And I spoke to Dr. Juniper, and he explained why this was important.
Okay.
No one had ever observed them feeding like this underwater before. It was quite exciting for scientists involved to have confirmation that they do feed on hagfish at depth, and this is the technique that they use.
So this kid sitting in Ukraine makes a scientific discovery.
Yes.
Why watching a webcam?
It's the first time that bit of data was validated and verified by video.
Well, but there's also a danger to this because I mentioned a webcam in Minnesota where there were bald eagles and a chick, and the chick was sick, and scientists are loath to interfere with the natural process. And yet there was such an outcry when this chick was sick that, I mean, it went to the governor's office, and this state agency had to hoist some buckets up there with some workers to take the chick out because people were so upset. Is that the danger that people are going to get too emotionally involved with what is really wildlife?
It can happen. And from my perspective, I'm always happy when people care. And caring too much, I think you almost can't do that. Charles Eldermeyer at Cornell said they rarely have that issue, in large part because they have moderators on hand all the time. So they're explaining what you're seeing. Sometimes when you have something that's going to be tough to watch that they know, say a chick in a nest, a raptor nest has died, and the family's probably going to consume that chick. It's something that everyone in the world might not want to watch. So they'll put a screen over it with a warning and tell people what might be about to happen. In addition to that, they have a really good policy, which is if the birds are suffering because of a man-made cause, they will intervene. And that happens a lot with, for instance, ospreys, which are these wonderful raptors who eat fish. And so they pick up fishing line a lot of the time, and they can get tangled, and they build their nest with some of it. The chicks and the adults themselves can get caught in the fishing line. And so they've made a policy that they will intervene if a viewer sees that, as they have in the past, and they notify the biologist. They will take one of those bucket trucks and go there and untangle the bird. That seems only fair.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little more about the future of these citizen scientists, these armchair scientists, what the thinking is about what they might someday do.
What I'm interested in, we keep hearing now about the slaughter of elephants and rhinos. And so, and you have all of these eyeballs willingly looking at lots of footage, live streaming of wild animals. So the question is, can citizen scientists or citizens make an arrest by watching video of animals in the wild and notify people if they see poaching going on? I happened to talk this week to Alan Rabinowitz, who is a big cat expert. He's just gotten a lot of money, millions of dollars from the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, and he runs Panthera, a wonderful organization. And he brought up the fact that why can't we have like traffic cameras keeping their eyes in the forest, in which poachers wouldn't even know they're having their picture taken until law enforcement agents show up on the doorstep. So at this point, there are a couple of places in Kenya that are using unmanned aerial drones and having cameras on them. We haven't taken the next step yet in which people at home are beginning to scan those images to see if something's happening. But I can see the day, and so can Alan, when that could happen.
Oh. How great if watching from your living room in Ukraine, you could press a button and say, get out of there, to a poacher in another country. Vicky Croak, Here and Now Animal Reporter. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And while the lion is sleeping, it's still fascinating to watch. I'm also thinking you could get a bird feeder, the original webcam. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young. Jeremy Hobson will be back Monday, Here and Now. I win my way.